Morning. Today's daf in Kedushin is Memvav. Thank you, Lubin Foundation, for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lunas Dechonishmas, Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We start today on Memhamad Beis. We're in the middle of the second paragraph of Kedushin, and we are specifically talking about a Ketana getting married. Ketana, by her own right, has no ability to get married. She does not have the requisite das in order to affect the Kedushin. Nevertheless, the Gemara for the last daf, Memhei, and into today's daf as well, is involved in a discussion of whether or not what happens when the Ketana receives her Ketz of Kedushin. So Rav and Shmuel are both of the opinion that that is going to be a concern. A concern because maybe Shem and Nisras is Ha'av, because there's a possibility that maybe the father will be in agreement with this marriage. He'll give consent to the marriage. He would have consented to the marriage. And so therefore, both according to Rav and Shmuel, this is going to be a legally significant act. What to do from this point going forward? If, let's say, we don't have any more information other than that. So both Rav and Shmuel have your opinion that she requires a get, and she also requires Miyun as well. Yesterday we explained why, according to Rav and Shmuel, there's a need for both. That is the opinion of Rav and Shmuel. Ula's of the opinion that it's totally not a legally significant act. There is simply nothing to be concerned with, according to Ula, and therefore it doesn't. We're not worried that the father will have given any kind of consent to such a marriage, and so therefore nothing needs to be done. She's just simply not mukudashes. The Gemara yesterday spent some time discussing this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel versus Ula. The Gemara then further gave a complication in that what if this girl then goes ahead and is a candidate for Yibum, meaning after having received Kedushin, what happens when her husband then dies? I call him her husband because we don't know, but so for lack of a better term, what happens when her husband dies? So now she is subject to a possible Yibum candidacy. So what happens at that point in time? So that also was a discussion in yesterday's daf as well. What if the father accepts Kedushin for his son? So the Gemara on the top of Memhei Amud Beis, we did this yesterday at the end of yesterday's daf, has a discussion. It's the top of the Amud. The Gemara has a discussion about that, but the Gemara's conclusion is, if you subscribe to Ula's viewpoint, where we're not worried that the father's consenting to the marriage of his daughter, for sure the father is the son is not going to set up his father to marry him off, or at least we're not going to assume that. And the Gemara's conclusion was yesterday that this is not, if the father accepts Kedusha on behalf of his son, which the Torah does not grant him the authority and the right to do so, it's not a legally significant act, and there's nothing to concern ourselves with. Hahu Gavra, this is where we are from yesterday on Memhamad Beis. Towards the top, Hahu Gavra Dishakel. I'm sorry, Dikadish Bekisha Diarka Bishuka. So the Gemara tells the story of a man who took a bundle of vegetables in the marketplace and handed it over to a ketana for the purposes of marriage. Now the Gemara says, "Amar Ravina filamand amar choshishin shem nisras le'av." Now Ravina says, "Look, even if we're going to subscribe to the viewpoint of Rav and Shmuel, where in yesterday's daf Rav and Shmuel says, look, she accepted the Kedushin, and even though she's a Ketana, maybe her father is going to have consented. But over here, this is really a flippant type of Kedushin. Look what the object of value was. It's a bundle of vegetables. Two is that it was done in the marketplace. This is really flippant. And as a result of that, where the Gemara says, we're not going to be concerned that Shem Nisras is Av, even according to the opinions of Rav and Shmuel. Because he meaning Ravina, limits the position of Rav and Shmuel. Afil l'mandam r'choshin Shem Nisras is Av, even if you subscribe to Rav and Shmuel's viewpoint, hani mila derech kavod. That's only when the Ketana receives it in a manner which is respectable. Aval derech b'zayin lo, but not if it's in a disrespectful manner like we just described. Now, amalei revachem edifta l'ravina b'zayin damai. Now, what exactly was disrespectful about this act of Kedushin? So the Gemara says you can really pinpoint two different things. I b'zayin diyarka, I b'zayin deshuka. On one hand, look at what was given as the actual act of Kedushin. It was a bundle of vegetables. That's not nice. And furthermore, it was done in the marketplace. That's also not nice, right? Earlier in the Masechta, we learned that anyone who was mekadesh b'shuk, anyone who did kiddushin in the marketplace, it's not appropriate. It's not b'tznias. It's not the right way to do it. So the Gemara says. So those are really two different points. My nafkamina, the Gemara points out now. If we can isolate and say which is really the bizayon, so then the Gemara points out that there's going to be a practical difference. Dikash b'kaspa b'shuka. Let's say it was done with kesef, but it was done with money in a marketplace. Oh, b'kish diyarka b'besa. Or let's say it was done with vegetables, but it was done in the home. So which one of these two really qualifies it as a bizayon? So the Gemara wants to know. Amar lei dividi derech bizayonu. The Gemara says really both. Meaning here we're not open to lumdus over here. It's the either variable would make it a bizayon. And to which the Gemara now says if a girl who's a katana is accepting kiddushin and the item that's used as the kesef kedushin is not respectable. It's a bundle of vegetables. Or the location is not respectable, meaning it was done in a marketplace. Under both circumstances, either one of them would qualify this as a bizayon, and therefore she is not. There's nothing to be concerned for, even according to the opinion of Rav and Shmuel.
But if there's a principle of shavutah,
She's a katana. So the only concern is that would the father have consented? And so the Gemara says that once it turns into a unrespectable manner, so then even Rav and Shmuel says the father would not. He's not open to this. Okay, debate takes place between husband and wife regarding the future of their child in terms of marriage. He's saying, look, let's marry him off. Let's marry him off to one of my relatives. And she says, no, let's marry him off to... Sorry, the daughter, the future of the daughter, and the husband says, same shot in the Gemara. Just they're debating in terms of who they're going to marry their daughter off to. So who the Amalek Krivai? So the husband says, the father says, my side of the family, right? Because I've seen your side of the family, and it's not appealing to me, right? Vehi Amra, everyone has this conversation in the home. So Vehi Amra Lekriva, and she says no. She says let's go with my side of the family, because she says to him, I see your side of the family, and no, our daughter is going to marry somebody from my side of the family. So Kafte, obviously, just to state the obvious, obviously we're not talking about the Krovim, like in other words, direct relatives. That's Arias. They're talking about cousins, second cousins, but in other words, keep in the family, right? It's not unusual. Again, I go back to the Avos. That's exactly what Avram Avinu wanted for his son Yitzchak. See, he wanted to keep in the family, a family member. So Kafte Ada Amr La Tehava Lekriva. So he gives the father gives in to the mother. He gives in to her. Fine. You know what? We'll do it. We'll marry off our daughter to someone from your side of the family. Now she's at this point still a katana. Ad Akhle Vishase. So now they make a vord, a lechayim, right? They made a party. Now it's very clear from the Gemara's continuation. She didn't actually receive kiddushin as of yet. The party was just simply the parents came to terms in terms of which side they're going to marry. Okay, that they made a kiddush. It was just it's funny in the announcements in the shul. I like the idea kiddush in honor of the fact that they agreed that we're going to marry her off to her side of the family. Okay, anyway, so they made some sort of function, some sort of party. So also krivei beigra v'kiddusha. Now it gets a little dramatic over here because a family member of his comes over to this girl. She's a katana, and he's mekadesher. Now without the father's consent, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But obviously, that's not what they agreed to. So, Amar Abaye, Ksiv, She'eris Yisrael lo yasu avla, v'lo yidabru chesef. So Abaye says, you know, us Jewish people, we don't lie. In other words, or let's say it better. I like the way I said the first time, but just to be a little bit more accurate and true to the tone of the Gemara, once we make a commitment, we don't go back on our commitment. Meaning, the father said he capitulated, he agreed. Look, I'm gonna have her marry off to a member of your family. So this Ketana now at the party is taken up to the attic, and now she's accepting kiddushin from one of his family members. Again, she's a Ketana. It's only going to work with the consent of the father. But here, the assumption is the father's not going to concede. Why? Because he already gave his wife his word that it was going to be somebody from her side of the family. So Abayi says there's nothing to worry about. Rava Amar Chazakin Ein Adam Terech Mesuda Umafsida. Rava, same conclusion, but a different argument. Look, they just spent a lot of money on this, whatever kind of party you want to call it. A l'chaim, a vord, it's, again, those aren't really accurate ways to describe it. The kiddush. Okay. They spent a lot of money on this kiddush. So once you're spending that kind of money on this kiddush, so then you're not going to spend all that money after having come to some sort of agreement, meaning the whole premise of this function was that he agreed to her, and then you're not going to spend all that money and then ruin it by having his daughter accept kiddushin from a member of his family. Now, the difference between Abayi and Rava is that Abayi says it's really a function of once they make a verbal commitment, we're not going to go back on our word. So according to Abayi, it has nothing to do with the expenditure of the party. So that means according to Abaye, the father will not concede. Done. However, according to Rava, it's a function of expenditure. Now, let's say the kiddush was sponsored. And let's say mom and dad didn't have to pay anything for this kiddush. So now, according to Rava, if that were the case, maybe under those circumstances, the father would concede. Okay. So again, just a little bit more from yesterday's daf in terms of this discussion of when are we ever concerned that if the daughter who's a ketana is receiving kedushin, would the father concede? So we just basically learned in our Gemara that there are two provisos in this discussion. One, we just learned together that if it was done in a disrespectful manner with a bundle of vegetables in the marketplace, so then for sure the father would not concede to that. And two, that once the father made a verbal commitment to the mother, in this particular scenario, that she's not going to marry somebody from my side of the family, so then if she accepts kedushin from somebody from his side of the family, it's not going to work, either because of the verbal commitment or because of the expenditure that they laid out for this kiddush that they just made. Okay, 1, 2, 3. We're going to now go through three scenarios in which the father does not react to the kiddushin. Three different scenarios, and basically, once again, we're finishing up this topic now in the Gemara's discussion as to whether or not we're ever concerned about a consent of the father. So, number one. So, let's say the father is misrata by the Kedushin, meaning the father, she accepts Kedushin, and the father, she's a Ketana, and the father gives a big thumbs up for the Kedushin. Okay? And then for the Chasna, he's away. He's on a trip. Whatever the circumstances are, he's away for the nisuin. So, Amar Rav Ocheles B'Chuma Ashiyavo Avi Aviyimcha. So, this is interesting because the kedushin was done with the consent, with the approval of the father. If I didn't know any better, meaning had I not already gone through the Gemara and had I not seen what's about to come up, I would have said, well, once the father accepts the kedushin, is consenting to the kedushin, so good. Meaning, what more is there to discuss? Excuse me. What more is there to discuss? He needs to now also give a thumbs up for the nisuin, meaning the nisuin is the second stage of marriage. But the first stage of marriage was done already, and with the approval of the father. So if you would have asked me, I would have said, not having learned the Gemara already, we're good. Meaning, we don't need any further consent by the father. And here, the Gemara is going to tell us something interesting, and then the Gemara is going to teach us. That's not perfectly true. The father not only needs to give his verbal consent to the kedushin, he also needs to give a form of consent for the nisuin as well. In fact, you see this very clearly because Rav's of the opinion, Ochel's b'chuma ashiyavo avi aviyimcha. If dad, for whatever reason, was away for the nisuin, she can eat truma until dad comes back and articulates that he didn't approve of the nisuin.
Who's the kohen, the father or the husband?
The husband. The husband's a kohen. meaning she's a Bas Yisrael and she's married now to a Kohen, and she is allowed to eat truma until dad comes back.
Before Nisuin or after?
No, after Nisuin. Eating truma only after Nisuin. Perfect. I'll clarify all those points in just a moment. Rav Asi Amar Eino Ochel Hashem Yavo Avi Aviyimcha. The Venimse Zarechos B'Truma Lema Freya. Now Rav Asi takes a much more conservative approach. Rav Asi says no. Let her not eat truma, even though Dad approved to the kedushin, but Dad wasn't there for the nisu when he was away. And Rav Asi says, I'll tell you what. Let her not eat truma until Dad comes back and gives a thumbs up for the Nisuin. Because we are concerned, says Rav Asi, that maybe Dad is not in approval of the Nisuin, and therefore she is not in a position where she can eat truma, and v'nimsei zaro chalos b'truma l'mafreya. And it turns out that retroactively, a non-Kohen is eating truma. Now, we all know that when you're a Bas Yisrael and you are married to a Kohen, already at the Kedushin you have rights min haTorah to eat truma. The Torah describes that who is allowed to eat truma? A Kohen and kinyan kaspo, any kinyanim of the Kohen. When a man marries a woman, first stage of marriage, Kedushin, that's a kinyan. That's what we've been discussing since day one of the Masechta. Why is it that a mikudeshes, a mu'uresis, is not allowed to eat truma? So there's a rabbinic zera that prevents her from doing so until the Nisuin. Either the Gemara formulates it in one of two ways. Either she's going to take some leftover truma back home because she's not living with her husband yet. She's going to feed it to her family. Or at the point of Nisuin, the husband may make a discovery about her, a physical discovery about her that he did not know, and that will upset the marriage retroactive to the point of Kedushin. Either way, the Chachamim banned her from eating it. So what Rav Asi is teaching us is that he is super conservative, because Rav Asi is basically saying, look, even though the Kedushin was done with the consent of the father, and that means now that they're married. From a Kedushin standpoint, they're married. And min haTorah, they're allowed to eat truma. But still, Rav Asi's position is, I'm still going to take a wait-and-see position in terms of her ability to eat truma, even though they got through Nisuin. If Dad's not there and Dad's not giving the consent for the Nisuin, I'm still saying that she cannot eat truma, even under those circumstances. The Gemara follows up these two opinions. Ava Uvda, there was actually an incident where a Bas Yisrael, as a Katana, accepted Kedushin from a Kohen. Dad approved the Kedushin. Dad was not around for the Nisuin. V'chashla Rav Lahad Rav Asi. And even though Rav was lenient and allowed to eat Truma, but because Rav Asi was Machmir, Rav took Rav Asi's position into consideration and did not allow her to eat Truma. Amar Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak Amod Rav Shim Meisa Eina Yorsha. Now, even though Rav was not as conservative as Rav Asi was, but here Rav would yield to Rav Asi on the following, and that is, let's say the Kedushin, again, same case, she accepted Kedushin, and here he doesn't have to be a Kohen, could be anybody. She accepted Kedushin as a Katana, Dad gave the consent for the Kedushin, and then they got married, but Dad was not around for the marriage, so we don't know if Dad consented or not. So let's say under those circumstances, let's say she dies. Now, generally speaking, what do we know the halacha is once a wife dies? A fully married woman, so all of her estate goes over to her husband. The husband inherits the estate of his wife, of his deceased wife. So under these circumstances, because Dad was not around for the Nisuin, so then even Rav would agree, and Rav allowed her to eat truma, even Rav would agree that her estate would not go over to her husband, but her estate would stay with her family. Why? Because over here you have to take the chazaka into consideration, and her chazaka was that she is not a married woman, meaning the marriage changes her chazaka, and we're going to go with the original chazaka. And as Rashi points out over here beautifully, Rashi points out, you understand there's a fundamental difference between the eating of truma and his ability to inherit her, because as we noted just a moment ago, Rashi, this is Rashi towards the bottom of the Amud. Rashi points out that when it comes to the truma, already at Kiddushin min haTorah she was allowed to eat truma. So from Rav's standpoint, so now even though the Nisuin was quote unquote questionable, But okay, but the kedushin was not. So therefore, Rav's of the opinion, let her eat truma, because the kedushin was done correctly. And already at the point of kedushin, in the Torah, she was allowed to eat truma. Masha Enke, when it comes to inheritance, Yerusha, Yerusha only kicks in at Nisuin, at the second stage of marriage. And because that was done questionably, the question over here is, dad wasn't around, we don't know if he consents, we don't know if he approves, so therefore, the Yerusha is not going to transfer over from her over to him. Good. That is number one. Number two, Niskancha Ladas Venisa Shalaladas. Let's say the Kedushin was done with dad's approval. The Nisun was done without dad's approval. The Avia Khan. But over here, it's not that dad was away, dad was here, he just didn't say anything. I again, just to visualize, dad's there at the wedding and emotionless. Totally masking whether or not he likes what's going on. He doesn't like what's going on. Okay? Father of the bride at the wedding, showing no emotion whatsoever. So now, Rav Huna Amar Eino Ochelos, Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba Amar Ochelos. And here, Machlokus Amaraim, whether or not she's allowed to eat Shum under such circumstances. And over here, Machlokus is basically contingent on how are we interpreting his silence. Rav Huna Amar Eino Ochelos, Rav Yirmiya Rav Amar Ochelos. And Rav Huna will tell you like this. Look, I know my Rebbe, Rav, was of the opinion in the previous case where she's able to eat. But Hasam Dulo Isa La'av. Yeah, because dad wasn't there. So, for lack of any more information, let's assume that dad would have approved. And anyway, dad gave the approval for the kedushin. He's just simply not here for the nisuin. So let's assume that dad is there is a continuity, and dad would have approved. But over here, dad's here. He's at the wedding. He's not showing any emotion whatsoever. Well, we don't have to be the body language doctor, but he's not happy. He's not saying he approves. You know why? Because he's mad. He's angry, and all he's doing right now is just simply holding it in.
What are we holding the default position of silence?
Generally speaking, shtika gahoda. So I'm right. I hear your issue in that generally silence is viewed as an approval, but over here. Rav Huna's interpreting it differently in this circumstance. I don't think Rav Huna argues. I cannot imagine that Rav Huna argues generally with the principle of Shika Koda. In this particular circumstance, his lack of any articulation is understood as he's just simply holding it in. Rav Yirmiya Ba'arba Amar Ochelos Vafilu Rav Asi Darmei No Ochelos. And Rav Yirmiya Ba'arba says, look, I totally disagree. And look, let's go back to the previous case. I'm going to tell you that even Rav Asi over here would agree. Because Hasam Udashami Yavo Avi Avimcha. Because in the previous case, dad wasn't around. So there's a very good chance that dad, I don't know about good, but there is a chance that dad's going to come and protest. Avahacha Midashasik Isnachele. But over here, dad's here, and he's not articulating any type of dissent. You know why? Because he's happy with what's going on. Okay, he's not articulating, I'm so happy, but okay, but that's generally speaking how we are. We don't, so dad, he didn't say anything. Okay, so that is case number two. And finally, case number three. Nitzkansha shalala das aviyah, v'nitzah shalala das aviyah. She accepted kedushin, not without the consent of the father. Meaning, we simply don't know. He didn't tell us in either stage whether he liked or did not like what was going on. So, Avia Khan. But he's here. He's just simply not telling us one way or another. Rav Huna Amar Ochelos, Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba Amar Eino Ochelos. So Rav Huna says she's able to eat truma, and Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba says she's not able to eat truma. So, to which the Gemara says, Amar Ula Hadra Rav Huna. Now, let us try to put Rav Huna's position into perspective. Because in case number two, Rav Huna says that she's not allowed to eat truma. Now, Rav Huna said that in a scenario where dad was an approval of the Kedushin. He just didn't say anything by the Nisuin. And Rav Huna there said, go ahead, eat Truma. Over here, that's here.
There's no consent.
And there's no consent whatsoever. And he says that she's not allowed to eat. So Eino Chalas. Amar Ula Had Rav Huna. So Ula says, I'm trying my hardest to understand the position of Rav Huna, and it's Kechomus L'Shinayim Ka'ashen L'Einayim. It's like vinegar running along your teeth. It's like smoke in your eyes. It's disturbing. Both of those sensations, I don't understand. In case number two, where dad was there for the Kedushin and consented to the Kedushin, where there, she's allowed to eat Shum on a Torah level. It's just because of the Gzera that prevents her from doing so. And there, Rav Huna says, oh no, she shouldn't be eating truma. Here, I don't even know what dad said regarding kedushin. Well, I don't know because he didn't. Meaning, we don't even know if there was a consent for the kedushin. And here you're going to tell me that she's allowed to eat? So I'm really lost. Nirin, so I'm sorry. Lokol shekain. We're now on the top of Memvav Amud Aleph. Nirin divrei Talmud. So the... this is still Ula expressing his viewpoint. I see the position of the student, meaning Rashi, top Rashi and Menvav and Aleph. Ula kemesayin lamilsav alzov kamar. This is a continuation of Ula speaking, and he's saying nirin divrei Rav Yirmiyahu shu talmidah shel Rav Huna. Rav Yirmiyahu is a student of Rav Huna. In this case, he's really speaking to me. His position makes a lot more sense in this scenario. I'm a Rava, my time, and the Rav Huna, so Rava comes along and defends Rav Huna, and he says like this, Hovanaseh b'maisa, yesoma b'chaya av. So look, dad's here, and we're now analyzing case number three. Dad's here, and dad's not saying anything to either the Kedushin or the Nisuin. So you know what he is really? He's an absentee father. I don't mean it in the way that we, right, I'm not, it's a pejorative term. He's an absentee father. And as a result of that, so basically under those circumstances, it's as if she's an orphan. Now we know, once there's no father that is over her and has jurisdiction over her, so at that point in time, so there is an opportunity for her to get married. Now, she's a katana, and again, like we said two days ago, generally speaking, if you're a katana and you don't have a father, so then your mother marries you off, your brother marries off. But I noted a couple days ago that there was a Rashi that indicated, I mean, he did more than indicated, he said that she herself can also accept Kedushin on her own behalf as a Katana, if there is no father. Over here, because dad is not voicing any opinion whatsoever, neither by the Kedushin nor by the Nisuin, so he's an absentee father, and it's like a Yesoma b'chayehav. It's like she's a Yesoma in the lifetime of the father. And let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi over here also is interesting. Rashi writes, it's the third line down in Rashi, Yesoma b'chayehav kidusha v'siyatma shelola daso. Dad is not expressing any viewpoint whatsoever. It's ki'ilu hi yesoma. It's as if she's an orphan. V'hu roa v'shasak. And he's just standing on the sideline and he's quiet. And Rashi makes two fascinating comments over here. One, Rashi says, oh, hifkid zechush yesh laba. It's as if he's relinquishing his right over to her. That's one interesting statement. Oh, shtikaso hoda'a. Or we're just simply going to understand that he's not relinquishing his right, but his silence is a tacit consent to the marriage. Okay, Rashi himself is trying to understand what exactly is happening over here. Again, this is now Rava's explanation of Rav Huna, why in case number three, Rav Huna is telling you the marriage is good. So one possibility that Rashi says is that dad had the right to marry off his daughter, but by him being quiet, he's basically handing those rights over to his daughter. That first suggestion of Rashi is fascinating. Off the top of my head, I don't have a precedent for that, meaning where we have this idea that dad is relinquishing rights over to his daughter.
Couldn't this be a case like we had yesterday where
She was married once before. She got divorced.
Right. Right. What makes this highly unusual is that this particular girl was not married before. So, in other words, so dad had the full right and ability to marry off his daughter. And it's because he's quiet as she's accepting Kedushin. So, the first suggestion of Rashi is that he's handing over his rights over to her. It's. Again, it's interesting. It needs a lot more understanding in terms of how exactly that works. The second suggestion of Rashi is something that we're a little bit more used to, and that is shtiko koda, meaning dad doesn't have the ability to relinquish his rights over to his daughter, but she accepts kedushin. Dad's right there; he doesn't say anything. Shtika koda, so that's viewed as a consent. And then Rashi goes on. Debishlam and iskashla dato v'nisishla dato ikal amemir becharish tika mirsach rachsava kule haylo shasik. Look. Previously, he was quiet, and we didn't understand his silence as acquiescence. But previously, he was there for Kedushin. He said something for the Kedushin, and then by not saying something for the Nisuin, so maybe he's mad as anything, he's just holding it in. Over here, however, he's saying nothing throughout the whole process. So maybe over here, it's silence is understood as acquiescence. Okay, so a defense of the position of Rav Huna, even though Ula can't fathom how to put Rav Huna's positions together, but Rava says no. I think it is understandable. We are in the Gemara Memvav and Aleph. We are continuing. Itmar Ketan Shniskasha Shalola Dasavia. If a Ketan receives kedushin without the consent of her father, so Amar Rav Bein He Bein Avia Yichon LaAkev. So Rav says, going forward from this point, so you can have two people opposed to this marriage, either the father or the daughter. Okay. Let's see if we can understand Rav's viewpoint. Look. It's the same discussion that we had since yesterday's daf. It's just now it's another permutation, another wrinkle in this whole discussion. She accepts kedushin and dad's not around, and she's a katana, and you need some form of consent by the father. Rav's now teaching us that after she receives the kedushin, so dad can come in and articulate dissent. I don't want this, not him. What Rav is teaching us, which is such a chiddush, is that not only can dad articulate dissent, but even she can articulate dissent. Now that's really hard to understand, because she's a katana, and she does not have das, and her ability to get married is, generally speaking, understood as only a function of the father. In fact, let's point out something which I know is not pleasant, but it's true. The father can marry off his daughter, the katana, to whomever he decides is correct. So this halacha by Rav is a little bit, more than a little bit, it's a little bit difficult considering the fact that dad has the right to marry off his daughter as a katana to anyone he feels is correct. So why over here, when she accepts the kesef kedushin, so Rav says either the father or even she, at a later point in time, could dissent to such a marriage. Tosus is bothered by this. Rashi remains silent on this issue. Tosus is bothered by this. Second Tosfos, the Im Tomar. It's about 6-7 lines down after the beginning of the second Tosfos. The Im Tomar. Ma yoel shite'akev achre shisratze ha'av ha'biyad l'kasha bakarcha. Tosfos over here succinctly articulates the question, how is it that she can make any type of dissent if the father is giving a approval, albeit after the fact? So shouldn't that be enough? And why does she, in this case, have a right to dissent? So the Yeshlamer, the Tosfos over here, gives a very interesting answer. And the truth of the matter is you have to say something, otherwise Gemara is really difficult to understand. Hainu dafka b'tchilas ha-kiddush. So Tosfos says like this. If the father is the one who is actively doing the kedushin from the beginning, he's accepting the kesef kedushin from the beginning, so then all this then becomes under the jurisdiction of the father, and the father then can dictate the terms of the marriage of his daughter, who is a katana. And I'll throw in over here, but I'm sure everyone understands the general assumption. Of course, is that the father is going to do what he feels obviously is best for the daughter. But okay, I threw it in just to make this a little bit nicer. But the point is, says Tosfos, is that if the father is the one who is initiating the kedushin, so then of course All this now is predicated on the father, and she simply doesn't have a say in the matter. Avahacha din is conscious shalola dasavia the acher kach nizrasis av the atarotz alomar demekadeshes mitam dezchusulo. So, but over here, he's not the initiator. She, the katana, is now accepting kedushin and looking now for a post kedushin approval by the father. This post-kedushin approval by the father is not exactly the same as the father initiating kedushin. If and when the father initiates kedushin, then it's all contingent on the father. But if she's the one accepting the kedushin, albeit as a katana, and then we're looking for a post-kedushin approval, so then it's operating the way Tosos describes it as a zchus. He's basically now providing the zchus so that she can get married. So it's a little bit different. Consequently, Amrinan kevin debita ma'akevus dechov hulo v'lohi misratze im hayado de ma'akva. Now that we're putting it under the umbrella of zechus, well, we all know the rules of zechus. Zach la'adam shelo befanav. In order for it to be zechus, it has to be something which is good for the person, for the recipient. Here, the recipient is she, the woman. In this case, the girl. So, if it's based on a zechus, so then it has to be something that she is approval of. Now, I understand all this is hard to grasp because she accepted the kesef kedushin. Shouldn't that be enough approval? And apparently, according to Rav, it's not. From Rav's position, if after she accepted the kedushin, there is dissent either by the father or by her herself, that's enough to break the zechus and to negate the marriage. Okay, that's how Tosos understands the position of Rav. Rav Asi Amar, back to the Gemara, Aviyah Velohi. So Rav Asi says, only for the post kedushin approval, for the post kedushin consent, it's only going to be the father and not her. The Gemara challenges Rav Asi. The Gemara over here quotes the pasuk regarding seduction. Now, regarding a man seducing a woman, the halacha is that either he marry her or he pay her a kanas. Meaning, unlike by ones, a man violates a woman against her will, so he has to pay her a kanas. And there's marriage. Now she can refuse the marriage if she'd like. The father can refuse the marriage if he'd like. But there is going to be a kanas regardless. Here by pitui, by seduction, where she is seduced into having relations, but eventually she consents to having relations. So here under these circumstances, it's either marriage or it's kanas, one or the other. So now, when we say that the kanas is going to be paid for refusal, it only sounds like if dad refuses. What if she refuses to the marriage? So the double language ma'in yama'in is teaching us that if either the father or her refuses for the marriage, either way, there's going to have to be a kanas. Now, why is this a question against Rav Asi? Because at this point, at this juncture, we're thinking that the pitui was done for the purposes of kedushin. And so basically now, in Ahava Mina, we think that basically he is seducing a girl for the purposes of kedushin. And what did we just learn together? That who can refuse? Either dad or her. And that would be supportive of Rav's position and be against Rav Asi's position. Amluhu Rav lo tezla basa ibcha. So Rav says, don't listen to that. That's not a proof. So yachol shenuy yelachu, because he can easily answer you and say kigon shepita shalol shemishas. No, that wasn't seduction for the purpose of marriage. That was seduction just simply for the purposes of having relations, and that's it. Pita shalol shemishas krabai. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then I need a pasuk to tell me the father can refuse, she can refuse. Of course, meaning they weren't having a conversation of marriage. So Amar Rav Nachma Yitzchak Lomar Shemeshalem Kenas Kimefuta. So Rav Nachma Yitzchak says, no, you misunderstood. What's the drasha coming to teach us? The following. The act of relations they were having was not for the purposes of marriage. Okay. But he seduces her. And now, let's say she says, you know what? I know Dad's in approval of the marriage, and as a result of that, we're going to get married. But you know what? I'm not happy with this marriage. So the point being is that, as I mentioned earlier, by seduction, either it's marriage or kenas. Here it will be both. Why? Because even though Dad approved of the marriage and she's a katana, so therefore they're going to get married, nevertheless, if she voices dissent, he's still going to have to pay kenas, meaning that the kenas penalty is going to kick in whether Dad disapproves or she disapproves. And even though it's going to result in a marriage, you're still going to pay kenas because she's disapproving. Amle Rav Yosef, Ihachi. Now, Rashi points out the Ihachi over here is not a challenge. It is a support. Hainu de Tanina. Good. Now I understand the Pasuk. Mahor Yemarena lo Lisha, Shitzricha Mene Kedushin. So the Pasuk goes on to say, and you got to give her the dowry, meaning you have to do kedushin. Now, the impita l'shemayishus kedushin lamali. Now, if the whole act of seduction was for the purposes of marriage, so then I didn't understand the second half of the pasuk. So, but now I do. So, amalei abaye tzricha kedushin ladas avia. So the Gemara says, well, not necessarily. Meaning, you gave a lovely pshat, but it could very well be that the seduction was for the purpose of kedushin, and the mahor yamarenu, the dowry that's described over here, is going to be for the consent of the father. So it's a nice pshat, but you could have given another pshat. Okay. We are continuing. We're in Memvav and Medalef. We're continuing in the Gemara. We start the Mishnah. Homer Lisha iskashli b'tamar zu, iskashli b'zu. So the man keeps handing this woman a date. One date after another date, and with every date that he hands her, he says to her, "He's kachali, I want to be mekadeshi with this date." So im yesh ba'achas mehem shever pruta mekadeshes v'im lavin mekadeshes. So if each date is going to be assessed, if any one of the dates by themselves is equivalent to a shever pruta, so then the marriage is valid. Otherwise, no. And here we do not take the aggregate total of all the dates. Why not? Because he continuously says with each handing of the date, he's kachali. And that breaks up each date into separate acts. Bezu, ubezu, ubezu, im yeshav apruta, bekulam mikadeshes, v'yam lavin im kadeshes. However, if let's say I want to be mikadeshi with this date, and with this date, and with this date, so now you're allowed to look at the aggregate total of the number of the dates. If all the dates are total to shav apruta, so then the marriage is valid. Now, with every date that he hands to her, she eats it. I want to be mekadeshi with this date. And then she takes the date and she eats it. And they keep going through this process. So if one of them is a shavapruta, so then the kedushin is a valid kedushin. That last case in the Mishnah is ambiguous. Stay tuned. The Gemara's point over here we made just a couple days ago in the Daf, and that is that our Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that in order to be chayv a carbon shvua for denying an obligation, you lied under oath to an obligation that you owed. So if let's say you had multiple claims against you by multiple people, and you repeat, Shvuah, I swear not to you, I swear not to you, I swear not to you. So because you kept repeating Shvuah again, 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 that divides your denials, and therefore you're going to be chayav karban akol achas v'achas. Similarly over here, if because you kept saying he's kachi, that divides every act of giving the date. Okay. Bezu, 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 im yesh b'kulon shavu pruta v'chule. Now, the Gemara is focusing on that last case in the Mishnah, which is ambiguous. She's taking a date, and with every time she takes a date, she eats it. Now, ahaya, the question the Gemara asks is such a simple question. Which case is that going on? Is that going on the first case where he keeps repeating his kachi, or is that going on the second case where he does not repeat his kachi? So, which The third scenario of the Mishnah, the date eating scenario, is that going on the first or the second case of the Mishnah? Well, if it's going on the Reisha, I don't understand. In the Reisha, even if she puts every date down in front of her, we do not take the aggregate total of the dates because he kept saying he's kachi. So if I even in a scenario where the dates are on in front of us and we could look at them as an aggregate, we don't. If she keeps eating them, for sure we're not going to look at them as an aggregate. Ela aseifa. So the Gemara says, so it must be going on in the second case of the Mishnah. V'afila b'kamaisa. So the Gemara says, but here I now have the following problem. Because he gives her a date, she takes it, she eats it. He gives her another date, she takes it, she eats it. And he keeps doing it. Now, let's say the first date was worth a Shavapruta, but the Kiddushin hasn't yet finished. It's not going to finish until he hands her the last date. But the last date wasn't valid as Shavapruta. It was only the first date. But the first date's not here. And we run into a problem that we discussed weeks ago in the Daf, in Kiddushin, and that is that now when the Kiddushin is effective, it's effective on something that currently is not here. And so now, it's essentially, you're being Mekadosh with a loan. The forgiveness of a loan. And we discussed already weeks ago in the Masechta. You can't do that. V'hamilvahi. I'm Rav Yochanan, Harei Shulchan, Harei Bas, Harei Sakin, Ein Lanu Lechol. So Rav Yochanan on this Mishnah says, the table set, the meat's here, we have a knife, but we don't have anything to eat with. I don't understand the Mishnah. Rav Shmuel, I'm a tavay lola maresha v'lo mibay kamer. So Rav Shmuel suggests that maybe it's going on the resha and it says and it's going like this: lo mibay manachas tiika shavapruta ini lolo acha achalas hol mekar v'hanyasa ema gamar makni nafshe kamash molan. So Rav Shmuel say, look, maybe this last case is going on the resha, and look, I know we said that if it's not a shavapruta with any one of the dates, the kedushin is not valid. But here, maybe the argument you can make is, but she's eating it. And although it's not a Shavapruta, she's really enjoying it. And with that enjoyment that she has, even though the date is not valid as Shavapruta, you know what? I know women are not mekudeshes for anything less than a Shavapruta, but that date was delicious. And maybe that would validate the Kedushin. That's Ahava Mina, and that the Mishnah's coming to teach us, no. The objective value of the date has to be a Shavapruta. Rabbi Ami Amar Lo Olam HaSeifa. Now Rabbi Ami says, no, it's really going on the Seifa. Umaya Shehe Ba'achas Meim Shavapruta. And what's the pshat in the Mishnah when it says that one of them is a Shavapruta? Ashehe Ba'achrona Shavapruta. It means the last one has to be a Shavapruta. Because if it's not the last one, and it's one of the first ones, so then at the time the Kedushin is done, it's not here, and then you're Mekadosh B'Milvah. And let's finish this morning with three succinct halachas. Amar Rav Shmamina, Midi Rabbi Ami Tlas. Three halachic points that we're going to learn from Rabbi Ami's understanding of our Mishnah. Number one, Shmamina Mekadosh B'Milvah Einu Mekudeshes. That being Mekadosh with alone is not a valid Kedushin. Now I know we said this earlier, but we're learning it now based on Rabbi Ami's interpretation of our Mishnah. That's one. Two, Hamekadosh B'Milvah Pruta Daita Pruta. Look, here she's received date after date after date, and then there was that last date which was worth a Shavapruta. So now, date after date after date, they are all loans. Meaning, if there is no Kedushin, she's going to have to pay back the money. So there's a milva. And that last date that he gave her is a Pruta, meaning because it's currently here. So it's a money equivalent that's here right now. So now he's being Mekadosher with two things, a milva and a Pruta. So now, she's focusing for the Kedushin on which? The milva or the Pruta? Well, you could argue maybe she's focusing on the milva. But if that's true, the Kedushin is not valid. By virtue of the fact that in our Mishnah, what we're learning is that the Kedushin is valid, it's teaching us that she's focusing on the Pruta, not on the milva. And finally, Ushma Mina, Ma'os Ba'alma Chozrin. Now, what if the Kedushin was not effective? So, and he's giving her something. What is the status of that money that he's giving her? Is that a gift, or is that expected to be returned? It's unfortunate, but it happens, right? A man and a woman get engaged. They break off the engagement. So what happens to the ring? So I know. In other words, the obvious courtesy is that she hand the ring back to him. But halachically, now I'm not really being accurate to the Gemara right now, because engagement nowadays is not halachically binding. It's just it's a commitment, but it's not halachically binding. Over here, he's giving her something as Kesef Kedushin, but it didn't work for whatever reason. And we'll discuss more of that tomorrow morning. But it didn't work. So now, is that going to be treated as a matana? Or is that going to be treated as something that's expected to be returned? So the Gemara says, what do you see from this episode? Well, only because that last date was worth a Shava Pruta, so then the Kedushin is valid. But had it not been the case, certainly she would have to have returned, not regurgitated, but returned the value of all the dates that she ate previously. That's the third lesson to be learned from Rabbi Ami's understanding of our Mishnah. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up. Top of the Amud.